This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Oh, Downton Abbey, the opulence, the upstairs-downstairs intrigue, the Dowager Countess.
I'm so looking forward to seeing your mother again. When I'm with her, I'm reminded of the virtues of the English.
But isn't she American?
Exactly.
I've heard that piece of tape a dozen times a day, and it always makes me laugh. Because Downton Abbey is a modern fantasy of pre-World War I Britain, a sanitized version of the dreamy alternative reality occupied by the British aristocracy before that dream was shattered by the reality and horrors of the Great War. In other words, Downton Abbey is a kind of pop art. But Sebastian Smee tells us that in order to better understand the world before 1914, it's best to look at the real visual art coming out of Britain at the time, much of which is now on exhibit at the Yale Center for British Art in New Haven, Connecticut. Smee is the Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Boston Globe and a frequent Radio Boston contributor, and today's weekly artery contributor. Sebastian, good to see you again.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So first of all, tell us a little bit about the Yale Center for British Art. I have to admit, I've never heard of it.
It's a wonderful museum. Yeah, it's in New Haven, and it's in a building designed by Louis Kahn. So it's a beautiful place to go. And this is a show that I've been looking forward to. It's funny. It's one of those shows that isn't really stuffed with great art. I mean, some of it is very good, but the Brits in that Edwardian era, aren't that famous for having produced a lot of great artists. But it is just so interesting historically and in terms of getting a sense of this period that I think it's easy for us to kind of, in weird ways, identify with.
Well, so we'll talk about some of your individual selections of the pieces in the show in just a moment. But what is it about that Edwardian era of the early 1900s that we find so attractive in Downton Abbey versus what we see in the actual art that you're talking about?
Well, I think it's fascinating, isn't it? Because we have this sense, we look back at it and we think, wow, there they were living in the shadow, as you say, of this catastrophe to come. And so the question becomes, to what extent were they sort of aware of this? I mean, obviously they couldn't ever have foreseen the full extent of the horror of the Great War and the rest of the 20th century, for that matter. Presumably they would have done more to try and avoid it if they could. But, were they somehow sort of dimly aware of the imminent end of this amazing sort of epoch that they lived through? And as you walk through this show, the answer sort of slowly becomes, in a funny way, yes, they were. They were already, conscious of... they were incredibly nostalgic to begin with. There was lots of sort of rumbling tumult beneath the surface of society. There were lots of changes going on. But in other ways, there was this amazing sort of, as the title says, opulence and wealth and this sort of very leisure-filled society.
So tell us about one or two of the pieces that really stand out in your mind.
Well, there's one amazing work which is called an act drop. It's a huge picture that was used to sort of come down between scenes in plays at the Apollo Theatre. And it's this massive group portrait that reminded me more than anything else of the cover of Sgt. Pepper's. I mean, it's one of those, that famous cover by Peter Blake, which has all the famous figures of the age. This is a similar kind of thing. It's a huge painting, though, and it has all the sort of famous cultural figures of the Edwardian age. So this would sort of drop down between scenes, and the Edwardian theatergoers could, in a way, sort of see themselves or their best selves reflected back at them. And there was a self-consciousness about that society, which is very interesting as well.
Well, regarding self-consciousness, what about the portraiture and painting?
Right. Well, they produced a lot of great portraits, and the show is filled with works by well-known portrait painters like John Singer Sargent, who was we think of as American, but was really an international figure. And a lot of those artists were very international. They just ended up in London for long periods. As well, a guy called Giovanni Boldini, who ended up being a great society portraitist and sort of competitor of Sargent in Britain. And then a really terrific painter that I don't think enough people know about called William Nicholson. There's only actually one painting by Nicholson in all of America on public display. But in this exhibition now, there's a few of them, and there's even portraits of Nicholson by some of his peers. Really beautiful painter. I mean, on the face of it, quite conservative, but just an amazing way with color. And he painted these gorgeous landscapes, very simple and modest, but just with an incredible touch and feeling for light and shade and so on.
Well, Sebastian, hearing you describe these works, I mean, the visual images that you're producing in my mind are pretty striking. And yet, on the other hand, the British aren't necessarily really world-renowned for the art that they were producing in this period. Why is that?
No, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you think of what was being produced in France or Germany or even Russia at that time, and you think of people like Matisse and Picasso and you know, the great Russian abstract painters and so on. In a way, I think there are two reasons. The first is simply that the Brits have never really been a particularly visual culture. I mean, they're a literary culture, right? And that goes back to the Protestant Reformation and all of that. But I think the other reason, more to the point, is that, you know, Britain had just been through this amazingly long period of stability under Queen Victoria. Mm. And don't forget, the empire was now at its apex. And this was partly because of the stable rule of Queen Victoria. And as a result, there wasn't that sort of much tumult and upheaval, which is, I think, often what produces great art. I mean, certainly in the case of France.
But that was so soon to come, though. I mean,
it was. And yet, France through this period had sort of experienced all sorts of, you know, changes of government, lurching back from, you know, the empire to republic and so on and so forth. Britain had been amazingly stable, and I think that, you know, there are sort of cultural results of that kind of upheaval, and Britain just didn't experience them.
Yet, it sounds like what you're saying, though, if you go to see this show, you will get sort of a view into how at least a certain class of British life saw itself.
Absolutely.
In the early 19th.
And it's not just painting, but a lot of decorative arts. You've got tiaras and sort of ostrich feather fans and jewelry, all sorts of things. I mean, it's a really fun show, but it's very poignant as well, and you get this sense of amazing sort of nostalgia and so on.
Well, Sebastian Smee is the Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Boston Globe. You're speaking with us about a new show of early 20th century British art at the Yale Center for British Art in New Haven. There are images from the exhibit at radioboston.org and also online, WBUR's new arts blog, The Artery, at artery.wbur.org. Sebastian, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Meghna, thank you.
Well, stick with us, because coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about Mayor Tom Menino's legacy in Boston, and we'll hear from you and your memories. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.